Welcome to Shattering Mess. I am your host, Yetta. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines. Then, during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance you will be able to replace your religion with reason, engage in a relationship with Him. Our phone number, if you'd like to question or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. Scott, I'd like to begin by playing a clip. This clip is from an individual who is the president of the Chamber of Commerce of Black Businesses. You know, it's odd that in our country we would designate businesses by black and white, but nonetheless, there is a Black Chamber of Commerce in the United States. The spokesperson for that organization happens to have some things to say that mirror what we have been saying on this program for some time. It is just unusual that that someone who formerly supported Obama buying into the dream would now speak so candidly against him. This is Mr. Alford. He is, as I say, he is the president of the Black Chamber of Commerce of the United States.
He doesn't have a clue. He's never had a business. He's never had a real job. He doesn't understand how it all works. I mean, just, as you know, I don't really support him too well. And he knows it. And that's a badge of honor.
Thank you so much.
He's bad. He's bad. And I supported him. I voted for him first time around. I had hopes because he was black. Shame on me. He is not Adam Smith. He does not believe in capitalism the way American our founding fathers did. He is very social and it's getting borderline communist.
Well, so here's a man that voted for Barack Hussein Obama the first time around because he was black. My guess is there's a lot of Americans, both white, black, Hispanic, that voted for him because he was black. And now he says, I've come to realize he doesn't have a clue. You know, when Obama gave his last State of the Union address, it became obvious that not only didn't Obama have a clue, but Americans don't have a clue. You know, he spoke for over an hour, and everything he bragged about was a lie. He had to fabricate every accomplishment of his administration. That tells you that not only doesn't the president have a clue, but the Americans he was speaking to, including those in the media, don't have a clue. He says that he knows nothing about business. He has never owned a business. Well, that's certainly true. That he's never actually had a job. His only job, if you even want to call it that, prior to becoming a U.S. senator from the state of Illinois, was to work as a community organizer. He worked for a political entity, which means even that job was a political job. They didn't make anything. They just engaged in politics. He has never worked a day in his life for business. So this gentleman, Mr. Alford, says he doesn't understand how it works. We have never had a clearer election in America. Now, as you know, I'm not a political individual. I do not vote. I view both parties as equally culpable. And it would be hard, you'd be hard pressed to find a good president amongst the 43 that have come or 44 that have been elected. And it would be easy to stack them up in terms of rottenness. But the fact is that this last election, as much as I thought that Romney was a very weak candidate. And the one area that mattered this time, the one area where America is upside down, gurgling, gasping for breath, is its economy. We have become the most indebted nation on earth. And you had a man who had resurrected businesses, many of them, running against a man who had never even earned a paycheck working for a business. And this country voted for the guy who didn't have a clue, who has never owned a business, has never actually had a job, who does not understand how it works. Now, of course, that's Mr. Alford's comments, and he is the chairman of the Black Chamber of Commerce. The last comment that he made is also true. It is obvious, it should be obvious to more Americans, I'm surprised that it isn't, that he does not believe in capitalism. The correct term, Mr. Alford, is free enterprise. All economic systems are capitalistic. The thing that made America grow economically was free enterprise. He most certainly doesn't. His world is all around what can we do to control people and control business, the opposite of free. His economic strategy, his rhetoric, is all socialist and communist. That's the reality. His State of the Union address on the economy a year ago wanted to manage the economy the way that the American military was managed, which is command and control. That's communism. Where people have no free will. That's communism. He spoke of the valor of the military in the context of from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. Communism. And the majority of Americans that voted chose this man. The consequence, of course, is going to be grievous. America is bankrupt. There is no hope for survival for this country. Whether it's 10 years from now or 15, America will cease to exist as we know it, and we will have done this to ourselves. But at least occasionally someone along the way who drank the Kool-Aid survives it. Mr. Alford, I congratulate you on waking up and having the courage to tell the truth. We do live in a world, however, polluted by political and religious rhetoric, a world that is so beguiled by politics and religion that I would ponder a guess to say the majority of Americans have lost the ability to think. I'm going to tell you a story. It would be an otherwise uneventful story. It's a tragic story, but certainly uneventful otherwise if it were not for the comment of the devoutly religious individual at the end. Dateline is New York. CNN is bringing us this story. New York police are searching for a male suspect in connection with a hit-and-run crash that killed two expectant parents and caused the death of their newborn boy. So here we have a hit-and-run crash in New York City. And two parents, they are expecting their first child, were killed in the hit-and-run crash. Police identified the man as Julio Acevedo, 44, and released a photo of him on Monday. This is not the victim. This is the expected hit-and-run perpetrator. He would be Hispanic. It was not immediately clear how police believe the suspect was connected with the crash. The police statement comes a day after a crash that killed Nathan and Risey Glover. So the victims who died were Nathan and Risey Glover. And they are part of a ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in Brooklyn, New York. They're Hadassic. Their baby boy was delivered by a cesarean section from the dead mother's womb. He survived for a day before succumbing to his injuries on Monday. So, both Nathan and Razi are dead, and their unborn or recently born, cesarean-born child is now dead. At the time of the crash, the Globbers, both 21, were on their way to Long Island College Hospital. A spokesman for the New York Police Department said. Police said a BMW slammed into the Glover's car at an intersection. The two occupants of the BMW fled on foot. Now, that is not the reason I'm sharing this story with you, but it does explain a great deal of the mindset of the morality of America today. That those who hit the car, rather than trying to rescue the parents and their unborn child, rather than trying to be accountable for what they had done, whether it was their fault or not, you make a mistake, you need to be accountable. But they didn't. They ran from the responsibility. It is in a way, a microcosm of the nature of America. We're running away from our responsibility. No one wants to take responsibility. Authorities arrested the registered owner of the BMW on Monday, and that individual was arrested on insurance fraud charges. The deadly crash brought heartache to the Glover's Hadassah community in Brooklyn. Hadassah is based upon the Hebrew word halak. Halak means the walk. Yahweh uses the walk throughout his Torah to encourage us to walk away from religion, to walk to Him, to walk along the path that perfects us. To walk through the pages of his Torah. Yosha walked out of the pages of the Torah. And he uses walk for lots of reasons. One is it's an action word. It has us engaged. It has us participating. It has us standing on the feet, on our feet. It has us moving. It has us on a journey. Well, unfortunately for the Globbers, their corruption of the walk is a walk through rabbinical testimony. So when we return to Shattering Myths after the break, I'm going to share with you what the surviving brother had to say about why this accident occurred. It will speak volumes to the corrupting nature of religion and the false nature of religious gods. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Good day.
To Shattering Myths, and if you'd like to engage in this discussion, you can do so toll-free, 877-300-7645. So I was sharing the story of how tragically a Hispanic man drove a car into another vehicle. That vehicle had a young couple in it, Hadassah Jews. The woman was pregnant with about ready to deliver the couple's first child. And so we have two comments. The first is sort of the normal response that you would expect. Isaac Abraham, a community leader, said, what can we do now? We are looking at the prosecutor. We want the people responsible charged with triple homicide, nothing less. Okay, that's kind of what you would expect. Get the guys that did this. Now, you know, the reality is, if it was an accident and the perpetrators had not exercised bad judgment and run from the crime, it would be an entirely different situation. But you know, there's a lot of times people run from crimes now because they're actually hiding another crime, which is that they were involved in drugs, they were intoxicated. You know, quite often those that run not because this is their first tragic mistake, because it is a series of mistakes that is about to be exposed. But the reason I wanted to share this story with you is because of what Nathan Glauber's brother had to say. He is the brother of the deceased husband. God created this world. This was His will. This is what He wanted. This is what He did. And we accept His judgment. So imagine, these are Hasidic Jews. Probably the most, as far as I'm concerned, debilitating religion in the world. These are people who were originally chosen to be Yahweh's messengers. They were His scribes delivering His Torah, prophets, and psalms. And yet they decided that they would chase after gods of their own making. They broke the terms and conditions of the covenant, of which there are five. And God divorced them. And so they created their own God, developed their own God. Now, the God of the Hasidic Jews, yeah, He created this world. And from that, this religious idiot goes on to say, because God created the world, that everything that happens in the world is His will. That this is what He wanted. That He did this. Now imagine a God so sick, so disgusting, that He'd sit up there in His lofty heaven like it was a movie theater and said, I'm going to move the actors around. Boy, this is really going to be fun. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to have two cars crash. I'm going to have a young couple that's expecting their first child. I'm going to have them die, and I'm going to prolong the agony by having the child survive one day. And yet that's really going to be fun. Boy, come on over here, Heavenly Host. You're going to really want to see this. Watch what I'm going to do now. And then that God said, oh, this guy, he got me. He understood. Here I was toying with him, having some fun, and he called me out. He ratted me out. Pathetic. It's like the Christian myth of either love God or He's going to torture you forever in hell. It's like the Tim Tebow God that somehow is a fan of football and decides who's going to win. What in the world has gotten into so many people? Whether it be on the religious side and they vote for a man because of the color of his skin, and yet they would say that racism is wrong. That they'd vote for a guy to fix the economy who has never had a job. That would witness a terrible accident and say, yeah, the Creator God of the universe did this. This is exactly what He wanted. This was His will.
It just shows you a few different things. One, they don't know who God is.
Correct.
And two, you said it yourself, they created their own God. That's nothing new.
The Christian God was created. The Islamic God was created. The Hasidic Jewish God was created. Yeah. He bears no resemblance to the actual God. They created a God in their image. Well, and guess what? Their God isn't so swell.
It fits right in with all the rest of the created ones.
You know, there's a problem when you create a God in your image. What you end up with is an immoral God. And such is the nature of the God of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. We ought not create gods in our own image. The real one is a whole lot better. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. You can participate in this discussion by calling 877-300-7645. We were speaking about how this Hasidic individual was speaking of a God that was created in the image of the Hasidic community. This God enjoys toying with people. This God enjoys imposing His will on people. This God is interested in pain and suffering. And it is interesting that throughout human history, man has consistently created gods in his image. You look at the Babylonian, Egyptian, Greek, and Roman gods, and they were all flawed. They all had a sexual appetite. They all had cravings for power. They most were involved in killing, sometimes even quote-unquote family members. The gods of history are all flawed with human characteristics. And so now you have the gods of the supposedly great religions. Muhammad's God reflects all of Muhammad's failings. His paradise is a perverted sexual brothel. He is in favor of stealing. He loves to torture his foes. Paul created a God in his image as well. He wanted to distance himself from the real God, so his God, his focus was a man, and a man whose testimony he perverted so that it would mirror his own. A God who said, I'm not going to honor anything I've said in the past. A God who's going to twist everything to create false impressions. A God who is willing to be capricious. A God who is willing to use lies to fool people. A guy who's saying, you know, for someone who's Jewish, I'm going to be Jewish. For someone who's a Gentile, I'm going to be a Gentile. For someone who's Torah observant, I'll pretend to be Torah observant, but I'm not. And for someone who's not Torah observant, of course, I'm not Torah observant. A God who will pretend to be that which he is not, a God that was created in Paul's image. That is the nature of humankind. We create gods in our image. If you look at socialist secular humanism, man becomes God. Enlightened men become the sources of inspiration in Scripture, the highest form of enlightenment and reason. One of the reasons the world is so messed up is because not only are there so many false gods, but almost all of the religious gods bear human characteristics, and therefore they are grotesquely flawed. Speaking of religious flaws, this from CNN. A Scottish cardinal who had earlier challenged allegations of sexual impropriety, that's the standard way of the Catholic Church, you first deny, then you challenge, claims that once again that he sinned and now is admitting that he may have sinned, and now that the international spotlight of alleged sexual abuses involving him personally have come to light, he is reversing course and say, well, maybe it's time for me to apologize rather than deny and challenge the allegations. This quote, I wish to take this opportunity to admit that there have been times that my sexual conduct has fallen below the standards expected of me as a priest, archbishop, and cardinal, Cardinal Keith O'Brien said in a statement. Now, what's unique about this statement is that with Mahoney and other cardinals, and indeed with Ratzinger, now that he's back to cardinal status, that with them, the issue has always been that they aided and abetted pedophilia by covering up the crimes that others perpetrated, allowing the perpetrators to attack more children, and preventing the victims of priestly pedophilia from receiving the comfort and protection they deserved. So their crime was aiding and abetting the pedophiles. But in the case of Cardinal Keith O'Brien, he himself was the predator. He wasn't just protecting predators. He himself was the predator. There are four Catholic men, all in the clergy at one time or another. I think some have since left the Catholic Church, all of which independently provided testimony that this man personally abused them. Now, he has been dogged by allegations by these four men studying to be priests throughout the 1980s, but under the blanket of secrecy and darkness, of course, the Roman Catholic Church hid the evidence, never divulged that four independent people were attacking him, so it was always just the word of one person against him as opposed to four, and they denied, they covered up. But in recent days, certain allegations have been made public, and as a result, he has said, because they have gone from anonymous and nonspecific in nature to being public and specific, and those that claim to have been abused have now ascribed their names to their charges, it is time that I apologize to those that I have offended and ask forgiveness. Now, in my view, there are forgiveness from lots of things, and I am sure that that God even has the capacity under the right set of circumstances to forgive a pedophile. But I'm going to tell you for certain, this priest has not met those circumstances, and my guess is that there aren't going to be many former pedophiles in heaven. Mr. O'Brien, 74, apologized also to the Catholic Church and to the people of Scotland. Why should he apologize to the Catholic Church? He is a product of the Catholic Church. O'Brien told Pope Benedict the 16th, who's no longer Pope, in November that he would resign effective his upcoming birthday on March 17th. But Benedict decided on his way out to ask for the cardinal's resignation. Maybe he wanted to do it because for 20 years, Cardinal Ratzinger ran the office of church doctrine that was responsible for protecting the victims of priestly pedophilia and for prosecuting the priests who committed those heinous acts. And that for 20 years he did nothing. And so he wants one positive gold star on his resume. I did one thing good. This archbishop that I personally promoted to cardinal, I'm demoting him. Not going to turn over the files to the authorities. Not going to see that he gets recompense for his crime. Not going to uplift the victims that he tormented. I'm just going to rat him out and say, you're going to lose your title. Not even excommunicate him from the church. But at least I got my one gold star. Now, according to his biography on his on the Archdiocese website, O'Brien asked to step down in light of his approaching 75th birthday and health concerns. Even O'Brien's not saying, I'm stepping down because I received a letter or call from Pope Benedict Ratzinger telling me the gig's over. The article here says that Cardinal Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles, meanwhile, is facing fresh attention over the role that he played in the cover-up of sexual abuse by priests. The Vatican has also been plagued by another scandal in recent days as Benedict was ending his papacy. Two Italian publications said that Benedict, now 85, resigned not because of his advanced age, but because of a brewing scandal over the blackmail of gay priests by male prostitutes in Rome. I had brought you tidbits of that story a week ago and told you that it was my opinion that Ratzinger resigned principally because of the damage done to the Roman Catholic Church by anyone whose eyes are open, whose mind is functional, by the release of documents in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, which demonstrated beyond any doubt that not only were priests who were abusing children protected by bishops and cardinals, but that the bishops and cardinals had written letters to Ratzinger when he was in a position over the office of church doctrine to protect the victims and to prosecute the perpetrators, and that Ratzinger for 20 years did nothing. And that absolute proof that came out of Los Angeles was the reason that he resigned. Well, there appears to have been another reason in addition to that. evidently there are a number of gay male prostitutes in Rome that have been part of homosexual soirees in the Vatican that are threatening to blackmail the Roman Catholic Church if they do not get whatever amounts of money they're requesting. Benedict received a 300-page report detailing the blackmail. The La Repubblica newspaper and the Panorama News Weekly reported a 300-page report documenting the demands of the gay prostitutes in Rome and what they are going to divulge against the gay priests in the Vatican in terms of not just homosexual behavior, but of cardinals and bishops engaging with prostitutes. The Vatican, of course, has emphatically denied the allegations, which Secretary of State Tarisio Bertone, criticizing a rash of often unverified, unverifiable, or completely false news stories. Now, every time the Roman Catholic Church has evidence against it, that is what they say. And they continue to say it even when the evidence becomes ubiquitous and undeniable. It is a religious institution born out of lies that does nothing now but lie. If it were not for lies, there would be nothing of Roman Catholicism. What little glimmers of truth may have once existed are now obliterated by an ocean of deceptions. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back after the commercial break. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. Thinking about the Cardinal Ratzinger's problem, it is it's easy to see why he just quit. For years, he has, for all of his adult life, from the time that he ceased being a Nazi anti-aircraft gunner to today, he has lived his life in an institution that views itself as being superior, being above the rest of society, not having to play by society's rules. A institution that first and foremost is secret, that doesn't want anyone to know what it is actually like inside. And now he's confronted by this blackmail. He hasn't the capacity to deal with it. You know, his first response is to look down at those who wrote the story exposing the malfeasance of the church. It's to be disdainful of those who are blackmailing the church. His response is to cover it up, to deny, to think that because they're superior, it'll all just go away. He hasn't the capacity. He's lost the ability to exercise good judgments, to be moral. He just doesn't have the ability to deal with it. So he quit. That's what's happened to the institution. This next story is only important because of what it portends. Brought to us by CNN, it says the meteor that exploded over the steppes of southwestern Russia sent a low-frequency rumble bouncing through the Earth, giving scientists new clues about the biggest cosmic intruder in a century. Scientists then used that wave to calculate the size of the small asteroid that plunged to Earth. These waves, whether they be sound waves or waves of light, are means to calculate things. Now, we have been using the stretching of the waves of light to ascertain the rate that time flowed at creation to calibrate creation's clock to our own looking back. And what we found is that the billions of years that has transpired from our perspective with our clock equates to exactly 6 days from the perspective of the Creator and the clock that would have run at creation. Well, we can do the same thing with sound waves to determine the size of that asteroid that struck the southern area of Russia. The duration of the sound wave, which was 32 seconds, led scientists to estimate the energy that was released by this rock, which was 56 feet in diameter, to the equivalent of 450 to 500 kilotons of energy, which is the size of approximately 30 nuclear bombs. Now, something else that you want to keep in mind. In Revelation, we read that an asteroid named Apophis, which is the same name that has been applied to MN 2004, Apophis, will strike the Earth on in the midpoint of the tribulation. In fact, if you look at the timeline that Yahweh provides of everything that's going to happen during the tribulation, the date that you would expect on our pagan calendars for the asteroid named Apophis to strike the Earth is Friday, April 13th, 2029. And son of a gun. An asteroid that is now named Apophis, that is over 1,000 feet across, 20 times bigger than this one, is going to come so close to the Earth that it will be the closest large object that has come to the Earth during the time that humans have occupied our planet on Friday, April 13th, 2029. Now, scientists, some will tell you that they can do the math, and based upon the orbit, it's going to miss the Earth by a whisker. However, there have been two programs recently where scientists have been a little more forthright, in fact, considerably more forthright, and they have said, yeah, we can do the math, but the reality is we don't know what's going to happen during that long orbit between now and the time that it returns on Friday, April 13th, 2029. And anything that it comes in contact with or approaches during that long orbit, if it slows it down, speeds it up, moves it right or left, up or down, could change from a near miss to a hit. And God has said that it is going to follow, that it is going to be nudged in its long orbit, and it is going to hit. And while this asteroid was the equivalent of 30 nuclear bombs, increase the size of that asteroid by 20 times to over 1,000 feet across. And think of the calamity that it's going to bring to this planet. It is one of the many disasters this planet is facing in the years that come. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
I've seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office.